It's getting increasingly difficult to talk about atheism these days, and I'll explore some of the reasons over the next few weeks. But for now, I'll mention one. The problem is no longer salvation, but liberty. Obviously. Ever since this nation turned to marketing as its instrument of national consensus, all political power has pointed to a mythical, transcultural, and poorly educated Bud the Chud, who swills natty ice, owns a pickup truck he destroyed to roll coal on, 8 rattle-canned AR-15s he can't shoot, can't maintain, and can't handle with any degree of safety, all bought on credit he can't afford. Anyone with a clear eye and the philosophical equivalent of a drink in their belly can tell you that all political entities in America tilt to Bud. Even the good ones, and sometimes especially the good ones. Again, obviously. But in the last couple weeks, Live Free or Die has transmogrified into Live Free and Die, as Bud's aspirants gather round to huff each other's bodily fluids. All of this in the name of a liberty defined before modern medicine, before genetics, before even germ theory, at a time when fornicating with livestock wasn't as much of an insult as it was a tempting career opportunity. But these people are not Bud. They have morality, they care about others, they pay attention to the news enough to be scared. We live with them, we trade with them, we even lend each other power tools. But it's getting harder and harder to get through to them, thanks to the instruments of national consensus and mob psychology. But we have to, one way or another. Time is running out. People are dying. I'm American enough to believe in liberty. That's why, in the past, here on the show, I've stood up for people who believe in it, even when I think their notions of liberty are at best childish. For liberty to ring true, it must not be a spiritual concept, but a mundane one that contends with physics and biology, with desire and need. We need to engineer it, just as the framers did, but more cogently and with more nuance, for our morality is superior, and our world much larger than theirs. Now, I am aware of the similarities between Bud's liberty and Bud's salvation, and I am aware that they are profound. On Sundays, Bud can be found in church, praying for an eternal subservience to a celestial authority disguised as salvation. His prayer is presided over by a micro-Torquemada who fancies himself a mere shepherd. He has sex with Bud's children. During the week, Bud can be found at a rally, rooting for an eternal subservience to a corporeal authority disguised as liberty. His rally is presided over by a micro-Hitler with good teeth or bad hair and a lack of moral conscience. He has sex with everything else Bud has. But I must face the main, as well as the method, and here I find the atheism stands fall short. But what does that mean? Like, in reality, not on Junior High Civics Planet. First, the presidential election. 2016 was a weird year, and I found myself feeling like a Cassandra and ultimately treated like one. I have no desire to repeat that experience. Even if I could, my crystal ball is cracked and only plays McHale's Navy reruns, and I don't even know what auspices are or how to read them. The political waters are turbid and rough with the present crises, and I have no idea how it's going to turn out. The best thing I have is silence, and I shall provide it with abundance. Second is how we're going to deal with the political and religious hucksters and jackasses who are using the pandemic for personal gain. We're collecting those stories and we'll deal with them in depth, but I'm going to wait until I know what the death toll is. That way, I know what tone to take. I figured I'd just get it all out there to start with, and then we could discuss it. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey. Not daily briefing, I have to remind myself that. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. This is not the show where I try to inform the city of Tacoma. This is the show where I can mention to you that having to sit in Facebook and watch these press conferences with Governor Jay Inslee, watching the people of Tacoma talk about how they just want to go back to work and they don't feel sick, and how small businesses are the backbone of this country and how small businesses can't work, completely ignoring the fact that COVID-19 has a lot of people who are asymptomatic carriers, and small businesses can't be the backbone of this country if they're dead, is something I can say. And that's not something I can say on the daily briefing. 844-SKEPTIC is our phone number. That's our voicemail number, toll-free nationwide. I'm still trapped in the house, if you can't tell. Joining me is Becky. How are you, Becky?
I guess trapped in the house along with you, Sam.
Yeah, I just... Oh, those press conferences get to me.
The comments get to me. It really is. But it's, you know what? When you're looking at them day in and day out, they're the same commenters.
They're the same people. And so I just like to poke at them. Or I shouldn't poke at them. I shouldn't feed them. But I do, because I am a man of low discipline when it comes to that sort of idiocy, I guess. I have no other way to put it. I have nothing nice to say about a lot of these people. Normally, it is my intent just to remain silent, but oh God, a month of this and it gets to you. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I did have to back away from something on the local Pierce County Health Department where, you know, they don't shut down comments and close comments on posts.
No.
And so you have all manners of nut bars. So why are you hiding the information on the number of COVID-19 cases who were vaccinated against influenza? Huh?
Yeah.
How can I direct a FOIA request? You can't get a FOIA request on people's HIPAA, you know, protected medical records.
Oh, but that's the conspiracy. You're not allowed to know. And even with the daily briefing email, we're getting our fair share we're hearing more from conspiracy nuts on the daily briefing than we are on Ask an Atheist, than we have in the last 3 years of Ask an Atheist, in fact.
This is a true thing.
Yeah. So it's been really interesting to do it, and I'm really enjoyed, despite what I just said to you, doing the daily briefing has been really good for me. It's done very good things for me, I think.
I think it was a brilliant invention and idea that you had, Sam, and I'm glad that you, you know, proposed it, because it's providing a rhythm for me, too, because things are arrhythmic right now.
Yeah. Well, for you, this is my life. This is what I do. I don't go anywhere. Most of my interactions with people are by remote, especially now that my office is no longer available to me, not only because of the stay-at-home order, but we actually got out of that office several months ago. You're getting a
taste of Sam's life.
You're getting the taste of my last, well, interesting. I'll avoid mentioning how long it's been, because this is the last official episode of season 39. And because Scan was a perennial network that had to deal with shows coming in and going at all times, they had four seasons a year. They had their TV seasons match their television seasons. And this was when we were a television show. And because I'm a computer programmer who hates renumbering and avoids renumbering if at all possible, I have kept that numbering system. Even though Scan is long dead, Scan still lives via not only the amazing awards we have in the Hallway of Madness, but in Ask an Atheist, in that we keep their numberings. We have kept to their numbering system. And this is the end of season 39, meaning next season is season 40. And it doesn't take a mathematician to know that season 40 means 10 years of Ask an Atheist. That's a long time. I knew I would be doing this a while, because I love radio and I love talking. I love everything about radio. I've gone on it at length. You could do a super cut. It would probably be almost as long as I spend talking about atheism as I do on a show about atheism, especially these last couple years, which is rather the point. And I was going to hold off on talking about this, but everything's up in the air. Everything is different now. Fortunately, here in Washington State, despite our inability to understand how vaccines work, we seem to have a decent grasp of disease, of epidemiology, and therefore we are not the cluster duck that, say, New York or my home state of Illinois is. Like, we were actually managing it. And so we're probably going to emerge from the stay-at-home order in the next few weeks with a lot fewer dead people than we were expecting. And I'm really glad with that. But just because locally we've weathered the storm very well doesn't mean that there were other places that were damaged, and doesn't mean that a lot of plans that we had weren't cast asunder. And among those plans was a tentative plan to make season 40 the last season of Ask an Atheist. Or at least the last season of Ask an Atheist as it stands now. And I realize this is me publicly saying for the first time, and I'm getting a little emotional as I say it, that I'm going to end this show. And I know casually mentioning that you're going to end a show after 10 years is like casually mentioning that you'd like a threesome. You can't talk about it without really managing expectations and understandings and emotions, or everyone's going to be hurt.
Are you trying to say you'd like a threesome, Sam?
Absolutely not. That is not
okay.
That is not my thing.
Because it's just you and me in the house with the cats right now, and I'm happy with that.
Maybe don't mention the cats.
just in our living experience.
Okay, all right, fine.
Not in our romantic interludes.
Right. I'm allowed to make the comparison without suggesting that is a thing I want. Yes? Can I do that?
Yes,
is
you that can.
All right. It's just not something you mention casually. It's not something that you mention at all without somebody going, you can't, or that would ruin everything, or how dare you, or that person? Why don't you just go be with them? Yeah, so...
Well, glad that we're not doing any of that.
I understand that mentioning I'm going to end the show is a difficult thing. Especially for me. But you have to understand, I have been talking about atheism nonstop, weekly, for most of a decade. For 10 years. For 25% of my life now. I've been dealing with Ask an Atheist, because... We were in pre-production for a fairly long time. So I've been doing one radio show for about a quarter of my life right now. For two-thirds of my relationship with Becky, for almost the entirety that I've lived in Washington State, I've been on this one subject. And increasingly, it's a community that I'm feeling alienated from. My extended sojourn in last year was partly to get away and reset a social environment that had become increasingly toxic to me. But it was also a way to get away from this. One of my favorite musical artists, Vernon Reid from Living Color, in an interview with another one of my favorite artists, Robert Fripp from King Crimson, in an interview in Guitar Magazine, and I believe 1992, had a saying that has stuck with me my whole life, is that songs can become like straitjackets. They can become confining and they can trap you. And in a small way, Ask an Atheist has been like that for me. But now there's another thing that I have taken from Vernon Reid, in that he never plays the same guitar solo twice. He's constantly testing. He's, you know, he likes riffing on things. And so have I. It's like we've reinvented this show at least as many times as years we've been doing the show. I mean, when this show started, I was a producer, but I was the most junior of producers, because believe it or not, while I have aspirations of iconoclasm, perhaps, I always thought I would be more on the inside, on the technical thing, doing the technical things. I saw myself less of a guy who's a talk show host that is not thoroughly abhorrent.
I fail you there, Sam.
Yeah. I guess I felt a little bit less like a Steve Dahl or like the guy right at the front of the show or a newsreader, is more like an Alfred Hitchcock, is a guy whose opinion... Or whose art shows through, sometimes through the voices of others. And I wanted to be that Alfred Hitchcock without, you know, the torturing people and creepy overtones that comes with people like Alfred Hitchcock. I was trying to reinvent the behind-the-scenes auteur a little bit.
Okay. Do you feel like it worked out?
No, it didn't work out at all. I ended up being the guy behind the microphone on almost every episode. And that's nice. I mean, I obviously enjoy it, but it's turning into a situation where I'm enjoying the medium a little bit more than the message. And I have this other opportunity ahead of me That's KTQA. And a lot of you might be thinking, I put Becky in charge of most episodes. She's the voice you hear more often, even though the show has got my name on it for reasons that I should never have acquiesced to. That this is increasingly becoming Becky's show. But the fact of the matter is, my work on KTQA lags because of the amount of time I have to invest in Ask an Atheist right now. My heart may not be here anymore. For reasons that have nothing to do with atheism, skepticism, or the separation of church and state. On the other hand, there are reasons of atheism, skepticism, and the separation of church and state here, is that I am becoming increasingly alienated with the community that I mean to represent here. The purpose of this show was to represent atheism to the mass media, to make us comfortable to people. I think on some level we've succeeded, if the Pew Research polls have anything to suggest. On the other hand, I'm not going to name names because that's, I don't think, shame is a method that works. I don't think it's helpful. And I don't know how to say this nicely, but I feel like a lot of atheism these days is changing the variables of the algorithm without changing the algorithm itself. Is that I've always made a big deal about how dogma, religion is just the armor that dogma wears. Is that the real villain here is dogma, and we have to pierce through the armor of religion to attack the dogma, which prevents us from seeing things as they really are, seeing people as they really are, and trying to make the world a better place. And I feel like that message has been completely lost in the atheism community.
Do you feel like there is a dogma of atheism, or that atheists are just as susceptible to dogmatic thinking, be it the lack of a god or be it a particular economic structure?
I think it's definitely the latter. We're not better people than religious people. We are not a cut above anything or anyone. That has always been my statement from the very beginning of my show. We just happen to be right, or probably right, if I'm being honest, about one of the easiest things to get right there is. But that isn't a get out of free pass to all of the major human flaws that make literature so interesting, but living with humans so difficult. I mean, like, you know, this is the point where somebody who sounds like me and talks like me and with my background would say the word social justice, everybody would tune away because you know what's coming next. We've heard this a million times and we're all freaking sick of it. The idea that social justice is bad. No. When social justice is the idea of humanity building a non-zero-sum world on top of a zero-sum substrate. The idea that we can see nature as it is, understand what's going on, and say, no, we can do better than this. We know that we're improving. You know, we know that this may be against nature or something like that. But the idea that everybody can win, that life can be better for everyone, that we can have an equitable society that treats everyone fairly, that we can have self-identity, these are things that speak to me loudly and have always spoken to me loudly and have what consistently drove me to speak out. This is why atheism is like the fifth or sixth or eighth political stance I've taken to my heart and made my talking point, but it's only the first that I identify with personally. I was a member of the GSA in high school and college, not because I'm gay, but because my foster parents were gay and unfortunately had to be in the closet so they could be my foster parents. Many of my friends were gay. Many of them were trans. And I wanted life to be as I wanted us all to have a fair shake. I was gonna say I wanted their life to be for them as good as it was for me. I don't want to unpack that, but no, I wanted their lives to be better than the one I had. But I'm increasingly becoming disillusioned with people when they talk about social justice, because justice is increasingly, it feels like a spiritual concept to me, because when people talk about justice, I don't know what they mean anymore.
So sort of like how we on Ask an Atheist have said spiritual is a nonsense word because it could mean different things to everyone.
That's a deep cut. Yeah. Justice seems to be a nonsense word. When a cop talks about justice, that's different from when a lawyer talks about justice. That's different from what a trans activist talks about justice. That's different from what I talk about justice. They should mean the same things. They really should, because we should have a shared nomenclature so we can build this better world. So we can all reach that post-scarcity free utopia that we all, that space communism that we all, that we're all aiming for. Well, not all of us, but those of us who like Star Trek, I guess. but it's not. And even in the social justice situations in which I live, when the person on stage talks about social justice, or not social, I know social. When they talk about equity, I know what they mean. When they talk about equality, I know what they mean. When they talk about self-identity, I definitely know what they mean. Self-identity has always been a key value of mine. If you cannot define yourself, how can you define your relationship with anything else? And then how do you get liberty from there? Without self-definition, nothing else is possible. Even in the Maslow concept, because if you cannot define the self, how can you define what you can eat and what you can't eat and what's good for you and what survival is and what survival is not? Self-identity is the underlying substrate of any survival or eudaimonic ideal. Like, I can and have gone on at length. And you can say, well, that doesn't have to include gender. Like, yeah, it does. Now we're having other, you know, now you're trying to define someone's self for them. Now there's identity of the self, and there's identity of the self in the concept of, you know, there's all of the things that make philosophy go and sociology go. I'm not saying none of those are real, but personally to me, that's my take on it. Without self-identity, nothing else is really possible. But now you bring in justice, and I have no idea what that means. It's increasingly becoming a nonsense word to me. That might be an effect of my disillusionment. It might be that might be an entirely internal issue. I will let you have. I will admit that, and I'll. I'm talking with my hands, and I'm hitting the microphone. That's a rare mistake for me. I'll let you have that. The problem might be entirely inside of my head. Which is possibly why I shouldn't be talking about this anymore. I gotta figure some of my own stuff out before I start talking about it again. On the other hand, and this is where it gets really dark, sometimes I think justice is social justice, when it's talked about, is less concerned with the helping of people and the raising of the floor and creating a better and more equitable society, and more shining a spotlight on people who want to have a spotlight shined on. And I am not interested in that. And I'm not even that interested in having me in that spotlight. If that hasn't been clear, I will not be able to convince you. I will do this show, or I will do a show, if it has 20,000 listeners, if it has 1 million listeners, or if it has 3 listeners. Because this is what I do. This is who I am. This is. I've been writing screeds, or let's be honest, sermons like that one for far longer than I've been a talk radio host, and I'll continue to do them when my bowels move and generate something like this. Yeah, and I realize that it's going to be difficult for you for some people to understand what I'm saying, and I realize that the takeaway for some people of this from this is going to be, well, Sam doesn't care about social justice. Sam doesn't care about equality. Sam doesn't care about my identity because da 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 da. So I'm never going to listen to him again. I can't tell you how many times that's happened in the context of Ask an Atheist. But the fact of the matter is, it happened then. It's going to happen now. All I can do is keep saying what I'm saying, and maybe you can listen to my words and hear what I'm saying. I don't expect you to agree with me, and I certainly don't expect you to be convinced by me, because I think what I'm saying, it could be in my own head. What I'm seeing might be a product of my own position and my own place, means that I'm not even convinced of what I'm saying. That's what I'm telling you. That's why dogma is so terrifying to me. I am always scared of the person, and I am always distrustful of the person who says that they understand exactly what is going on with no caveats. I am always skeptical of that person. Therefore, I have been skeptical of every president of the United States we have ever had, because their job is to go up on stage, or they seem to think their job is to go up on stage and tell everyone that they understand what's going on, and nobody else does. Like, I just a few minutes ago, I was crapping on the people who are saying weird things in Facebook posts while the governor of Washington State is going on about why maybe Washingtonians shouldn't die. But let's not ignore the fact that this is an opportunity for Governor Inslee to put his face out there.
He's shining in that proverbial spotlight.
Or he's trying to shine in that proverbial spotlight. Like in earlier this year, because he ran for president this year. And what did I say about Governor Inslee?
You compared him to scotch tape, right?
I basically said, somebody asked me, what's your opinion of Governor Inslee? And I said, what's your opinion of scotch tape? And they go, huh? I go, well, same opinion. Really handy when you need it. Super annoying when you don't. And otherwise, completely transparent to your life. Meaningless to your life. It's just one of those things you need. He's a competent whatever the heck he is.
Can hold stuff together.
He can hold stuff together. He can, and I grant you this is a difficult thing to do in 21st century America. Read a chart. But other than that,
Hey, I got him to sign a Darwin Day proclamation. I've got his signature sitting not 10 feet from me.
I keep forgetting that, and that's a big deal. I should give him more props than that. Being able to do that with a straight face is a gift to our community in particular, and I should value that gift.
He also, in all of his coronavirus briefings, is continually saying, we are grounded in data, we are grounded in science, we are grounded in medicine, we are grounded in mathematical modeling.
Yeah.
We account for error bars. He's a pretty cool pro-science governor.
No, he's been very good on the science thing. Yeah, so, like, I'm becoming disillusioned with the atheism movement. Maybe just because of who I am and the way I am, maybe the concept of an ideological homeland is just a bad idea, and I should avoid it, and I should just be content with being ideologically nomadic.
Well, I think that idea of ideological homeland versus being an ideological nomad, you might have struck something about the very nature of dogma. If you're searching for an ideological homeland with others, you know, you're not going to be a recluse.
Yeah.
In that homeland, you will have folks that might hew towards dogma in order to retain the borders of that homeland.
Oh, yeah. And skeptics have, I've been disappointed by the skeptical movement more often than not. For the reasons that you suspect. I mean, I can point to, for example, one time when I listened to this talk about, some data involved and some real data involved about the nature of diet in the United States and how we need to eat better and we need to eat fresher things and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely true. But what about people who, unfortunately, throughout most of the country, because of the infrastructure required to deliver fresh food, there's a premium on fresher foods and on healthier foods over prepackaged stuff that's jam-packed with stuff that's bad for you. Is that an acknowledged problem, or how can we serve those communities? And they're just like, that's not true. People just need to stop eating crap, and then they'll stop being fat. And I'm like, okay, so great. That's helpful. For the most part, the skeptical community hasn't always felt very skeptical to me, and has felt more about being comfortable with their status quo.
Mm.
And liking Mr. Wizard.
There's that.
Which, yeah, I'll own that. That's me. I am, like, that behavior in the skeptical community, I feel that not just coming from them, but coming from me, too. I feel that push. I feel that desire. I mean, maybe, I like the life that I've built for myself. Is it inherently comfortable? No, but I think it's the best I can do under the circumstances I've been given. And, I should stop saying stuff like that, because they're leading comments for somebody who has decided not to talk about,
things.
Because I've always wanted the show not to be about me other than the personality I present, and to be about the things that we talk about and the people we have on the show.
But you're talking about yourself now, Sam.
I've been talking about myself for half an hour. But this is the most real I've gotten on the show in how long?
Can't count.
Yeah, it's been, and that's just it. Like, this is where I am right now. Am I still an atheist? Of course I've all, oh God. Every time I've tried to take on a religion, and I have, I've rejected it the way somebody rejects a kidney from Bozo the Clown.
You don't even take medicine beforehand.
With screaming and confetti. This is always going to be where I am, and I'm not just going to walk away. I have this great domain name, atheist.radio. It's expensive. A lot of Patreon money just goes towards that domain name. But wouldn't it be great if we could use this domain name to shine a spotlight on other atheist media? Like, that's my plan. But I think I need to make my universe a little bit smaller. Yeah, I need to make my universe a little bit smaller. I need to focus on, less on talking to people, and maybe the infrastructure, which is where I've always been happier, the infrastructure to allow other people to talk. That's what KTQA is for me. Do I want to do morning? Will I have a talk show in the future? Absolutely. I've always wanted to try morning talk, and now's my chance. But that's my side, like, in the side job that is community radio. That's the side job of my side job. The thing that gets me going, the thing that has been fueling me, is to build an infrastructure to let other people talk about stuff.
It sounds like a little bit of a return to the days at SCAN when you were the guy behind the camera or at the board or piecing together the wires.
Like, just the voices that we've managed to discover, who discovered themselves or who we discovered just by asking them a question, would you be on the show, over the years. I mean, there's Mike. I can't praise Mike highly enough. He's better at talking on the microphone than I will ever be. That's just the way it is. There's Casey, whose sense of humor is amazing to me. And it also has a great, great delivery as well. There's Jeremy, who never needed my help for anything. He's just hilarious. What? You can say?
Oh, Dave.
I'm trying to go chronologically here. You're like, don't not mention. I'm going to get there. But there is Dave. Dave's hilarious. Dave has done so much for me. He's introduced me to a new sport. How many people have done that? There's Carol. There's you. There's so many voices that have been involved on Ask an Atheist. So many that I just won't be able to name them all. And I'd like to give them the ability to do their own stuff. That's why I built the studio. I knew it was going to be the Ask an Atheist studio, but I always wanted it for other stuff. I wanted it to be generally available. And I think that's a bad idea. I think I'm living in a, I think that was ultimately a bad idea on my part. I think I'm living in an era where I kind of need my own domain, you know? So moving a studio to a place that can be a studio,
Not in our home.
I think is a superior concept. Wow, that was a lot.
It was a lot. What's really resonating with me?
And I really went off script too. Believe it or not, I had one.
Okay, I don't know whether it was scripted or not, but the part that resonates with me,
I had. You know me. I not a script. I had
an outline. Your bullet points.
Yeah, I have my bullet points.
The ideological nomad. It doesn't mean that you don't know what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the rejection of the fixed borders.
Yeah.
Because in thinking about it more, when we look at borders, we start assigning value to those long after they may have any inherent value.
Right.
And those things can become dogma.
Yeah. And every time I talk like this, I always feel like I have to end with dot, dot, dot. Or maybe I'm full of
Shazbot.
I want to leave that open. I don't, you know, one of the things that I've always wanted to be on Ask an Atheist is not the expert. I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert on atheism. I'm not an like a lot of people who do atheist shows, I'm not ex-clergy. I had aspirations to being to clergy at one point. I mean, UU clergy, so I was allowed to not believe in God, but they never caught me. And I am more uneducated than I think people realize. And I wanted to use that as an asset to educate people by educating myself. Let me find out. And while I'm finding out, you can find out too. Yay. And that was sort of my position on this. So when I start talking authoritarian like this, which is how it feels when it comes out of my mouth, maybe it's not, but I don't know, it feels like I'm speaking with authority. I kind of want to end it with those, and maybe I'm full of, you know, I feel like every, that would be my, in my church, that would be my.
That would be your amen?
Yeah, so say we all, so may, so mote it be, yeah.
And I may be full of
Shazbot.
Yeah.
That's probably the best church service and liturgy that anyone could ever hope for.
Yeah.
How very agnostic of you. I love it.
Well, yeah, I think I also inherited. I'll put it that way. Having my dad on recently has made me revisit, you know, the effects my childhood has had on what I do here. And of course they're profound. Surprise! I mean, not that I didn't know that before, but now I have a deeper understanding than I had before.
It's been really neat and a privilege to watch some of that even unfold.
And then the election. Oh, God. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to say I think tearing the lid off the political line was a good idea. I still think it was a good idea, especially since a lot of you thought I was a libertarian. That was surprising to me. And then I realized I did spend a lot of time defending them on the show because a lot of people wanted to forget that libertarian atheists existed. And I'm like, no, they exist. I don't care for their political ideology, but they exist. And we shouldn't pretend they don't. Which is why I was constantly looking for libertarian atheists, Republican atheists who were willing to talk on the show and not be crazy. I can't have both. They're out there. They're willing to truck with me. Don't want to be on my show. Or they're out there. They'll truck with me and they're from another planet.
Or just saying really morally abhorrent things.
Yeah. Or I would incidentally become a conduit for scientific racism or something like that. And I'm not that interested in doing that. So, yeah. And doing that has closed a lot of opportunities for us. But like I said, I'm comfortable doing this show for 30,000. I'm comfortable doing this show for three.
And really, were those opportunities that would be wanted or
no,
useful anyway?
No, no, that's the point. But so I think tearing the lid off politics on the show was a good idea. But 2016 was such a replay of 2000 that I felt like I knew what was going to happen before it happened. Because I knew what was going to happen before it happened. Because it was a note-for-note replay. I mean, it was... apparently Miley Cyrus covered Wish You Were Here this week on Saturday Night Live. So I guess it's a cover song. I don't know. I don't know why that just occurred to me. Let's forget it. But, say something. You're giving me a weird look.
Because I didn't know that you knew who Miley Cyrus was.
We've made fun of her on the show at least twice.
That still precludes nothing of what I said.
I know what Saturday Night Live is.
Well, of course.
I sure as hell know what Pink Floyd is.
Fair.
Now we have a president with a primetime TV show where his sponsor is drinking bleach. And our savior is a man with credible allegations of sexual assault. And a lot of people who are saying we should not, we won't bend on this ever again, we'll never vote for another sexual predator. And we're getting mad at me because I was kind of looking at them askance, are now mad at me again. When they're looking at me askance, when they're telling me to vote for a sexual predator. I don't know what to do with that. And I don't know what you're doing with it. And I'm talking to a lot of you right now because I've been watching you over the last week. I haven't been saying a lot, but I've been watching you. And let me tell you something. As someone who is genetically related, at least 50% to a con artist, if you're going to lie, You must first know yourself that you are lying. Once you know that you are lying, you can create that self-delusion with enough complexity that you can carry it off. Real self-delusion is not a good lie. It can be poked through, it can be challenged, and it can leave you powerless. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, I know the choice that you're facing. The current president is abhorrent. I just said his major sponsor is drinking bleach. And that is the funny thing. The unfunny things are literally untold dead. Stories we're not allowed to know yet, but we all know exist. The horrors that live in our periphery that we know they're there, but we can't name them yet. And we're terrified because in 10 years' time, we'll have names for them. To say nothing of the horrors that we know now. The situation that you are facing is a terrible one. I'm not mad at you. But I am confused. And I have nothing to give you. I literally have nothing to give you. I'm not going to give you shame. I suspect you're feeling enough of that without my help, and I won't add to it. I care for you too much. I don't know how to get you through this. I can't give you my agreement. I'm sorry. I really am sorry. This situation has brought me close to tears more than once, and I'm not a person who cries easy. So, silence is the best thing that I have. If you want to hear my voice, it is yours. But you, instead of just waiting for it, you're going to have to ask for it. And your answer may be private. I can't maintain silence without telling you why the silence exists, is what it is. Does that make sense to you?
I think it is important because oftentimes we've had listeners that have inquired saying, why haven't you spoken on the show about X or Y or Z? And I value those folks that write in and say, why haven't you done that? Because we've also had folks that say on their own shows or through their own creative media say, well, those folks that ask an atheist, they haven't talked about X or Y or Z, and so it must mean that they are allied with or that they believe in this.
Yeah.
And I think it can help elucidate a little bit that some of those assumptions on failure to address something doesn't necessarily mean that you can speculate and be correct about what Sam's thinking.
Anybody who tells you that silence is compliance is marketing at you. Full stop.
Say more a little bit about that one, because in my rah-rah activist march, women's college kind of background, that was a very, you know, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention, silence is compliance. That's a very popular kind of, I guess, refrain.
Mm-hmm.
But to be faced with the idea, hey, that's marketing.
On some level, it's true. But you're also privileging yourself with omniscience. You know everything. What I'm not saying what they're saying is or is not true. I'm telling you what they're doing when they say it to you. They want you to do something. They want you to do their thing. And their thing might not always be the good thing or the best thing. For me, I'm not a shame peddler. Or I am a shame peddler. But what I am, what I've always wanted to be is somebody who explores the terribleness that comes in any inherent power system. I want to shame the people who believe themselves better than you. I want to shame the people who trade in power over you, be it spiritual or otherwise. I want people to feel shame when they grab the mantle of control over you and say, I am nobility. I am a cut above the others because I control them. I am the shepherd and they are the sheep. That person does not see you as a person. And shame is appropriate there. But an evangelical who was deceived and gave all their money away to Pat Robertson or Tony Lama or that guy who sells oily feet or whatever. I'm not really interested in shaming them. I want to give when they're ready, I want to have that conversation. It's no, you were being. I want to say you were being deceived, and for them to say, I know.
That little outstretched arm.
Confirmation of admission. I think is a more appropriate way to say it. And I'm really glad it's just you and me in the studio. I didn't really tell Becky what this episode was going to be about, but she did help me edit the pre-recorded bits at the beginning, so she had some idea. And I'm glad that nobody else is on this episode, so they don't have to take responsibility for what I'm saying. They'll agree, they'll disagree, they'll have their own things to say, and that's on them. Everything that's coming out of this mouth is just for this mouth. It's not for anybody else. I speak for no one but me. And I think I've done enough of it.
And maybe you're full of
Shazbot.
And maybe I'm full of
Shazbot.
I have literally a whole show of notes in front of me. Shall we do it?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. First and foremost, we have an announcement. All right, so Camp Quest information. The Camp Quest Northwest Board of Directors has made the decision to cancel July session, which was to be held at Camp Waskowitz. There will be more information to follow in the next few days as they work out the details of registration, payments, and other impacts of the cancellation. Camp Quest Natural. Jeez, Sam, come on. I'll never do this right. Camp Quest National is regularly posting activities you can do at home, as well as ways to connect with other campers from around the country. We're bummed by this.
I'm really bummed by this because I was already bummed by not having my kid fix since schools have been shuttered through the end of the school year. And in my newest role as teacher, I'm a educator of educators. I'm an instructional coach, so I don't even have my own kids to meet up with.
Makes
now
it sound
I don't
like a mob boss when you put it that way.
That's true.
All right, go on.
And now I don't have my June, July camp fix with kiddos in person, but I'm glad to be able to participate in an organization where we're prioritizing keeping people safe and healthy. So we're bummed.
So Ask an Atheist Day was, a little over a week ago now?
Something like that.
Yeah. And I asked a simple question, because Ask an Atheist Day isn't for us. We're not actually named after Ask an Atheist Day. We're named named after a comment thread on a forum that Mike Gillis started. It was on CBR, which you probably know for really highly produced. It's those YouTube videos that when they get in your play next, you're like, oh, God. And I can say that because I was never part of CBR. That's what we're named after. So not after Ask an Atheist Day. In fact, I think Ask an Atheist Day started right around the same time we started the show. But we like Ask an Atheist Day because what we normally do on Ask an Atheist Day is nothing. We like the idea of Ask an Atheist Day being for atheists who are out there. It's a time for people who are atheists in their environment to speak up, not weird shows like us. But this one is special, so I asked, how are you? And we got a bunch of responses.
Should we read some of them?
I would like that, yeah.
So Donovan from Alabama says, could be better, could be a whole lot worse.
Kim from New Zealand says, I'm good. Have come out of isolating away from my family for a week, hugging my kids as much as I can. I work as a radiographer, so front line. Whew.
Marcela from Buenos Aires says, what day is today? I had to respond back and I said, it is day. So Dean from France naturally clarified that it was Blur's day. And then Andy from Seattle jumped in and said Groundhog Day. I think we're all feeling a little bit of that.
This guy you may have heard Shujin, said, right now I'm okay. I only played the show I was on once today. What? I'm vain, okay? I listened to it a few times. I was actually really happy with how that one turned out. I like it when a plan comes together.
It was lots of fun.
Yeah.
David from Portland, Oregon, said, not dead yet.
Megan from Texas, hello Megan, says, I'm still sane. Sane-ish? Something like that.
Madeline from the internet said, I'm tired. I just woke up. It is 5:50 here. but I don't have a headache from wearing a mask yesterday, so that's good. I have asthma and wear a mask on the subway. It feels like I have an asthma attack every time I put it on.
I imagine you might be able to speak to that.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough. And I think in a lot of places there's where masks are being required. If you have a medical condition, then they're not required, but it's a hard trade-off when you want to be protecting yourself and others.
I just smell sweaty melt ham, I think is how I describe it every time I wear a mask.
I chew gum while I'm wearing a mask.
Which means I don't smell good, I think is what that means. and to go from the Netherlands, I'm having a day off. I am staying in and building some Lego sets, so doing pretty good. All right, bit lucky there.
Yeah. Pam from the internet writes, I'm okay. I've had the virus. My spouse still has it. I'm at work nursing elderly people with it. One staff member died, 4 residents so far.
A little bit of a reminder for those of you who are complaining that you can't get a haircut. The fact that nothing is happening is the point.
And
because this is the alternative.
Pam, really our deepest condolences to your community, your whole staff, your whole extended residence and whatnot.
How are you doing thing became, I just wanted to know how you guys were doing. And then it became kind of weird because a day later or 2 days later, 3 days later, I don't know how many days it was later.
Time doesn't work in the same way for you, Sam. We all know time's not linear for you.
There's a reason we're recording this on Wednesday. And if you were on our Ask an Atheist page, you know what happened because Sunday, I got up and I felt terrible and was shivering and coughing, and I took my temperature and it was 101.8. And that's a fever, but that's actually for me a fairly bad fever. Is I generally run between somewhere in the...
You run 96s.
96, 97. I'm fairly cold-blooded for a warm-blooded creature. I think it comes from growing up in the Midwest or something. I don't know. I'm guessing. And so I was like, okay, that's pretty bad. And I felt feverish. And like I said, I was coughing and
got a little scary there.
It got pretty scary. Couple days, it's now 3 days later. The cough abated and I'm coughing anyway because I have hay fever. So like, and it was very clearly an infection of another kind, a bit lower down than my lungs, but I also have a pair of them. So I'll leave it as an exercise to the listener, figure out which ones and, you know, turn it into comedy. But so I had an infection that cleared up and I'm feeling much better. I'm still under the weather. I'm not 100%. My temperature is now in the, it's the first time it's been below 98.6, because it was 98.5. That's where I am right now, which for me is a bit high, but not necessarily feverish. So, but I'm feeling a little woozy, which is why I thought giving a go at the most emotional and intellectually challenging episode I've done in probably 2 years was a good idea today. Because probably if I were completely well and completely sober, and this is another reason why maybe it's a bad idea to stop doing Ask an Atheist, is that I've lost the heart to challenge a little bit. I just don't want it anymore. Because whenever I go, I should do something important, or I should say something that's really, really chewing at me, 3 days later, I'm like, I don't want to. I'm just going to get yelled at. I'm tired of being yelled at. That's not a good position for a talk show host to be in.
No, you can probably expect to get yelled at as a talk show host.
Yeah, like this is your job. I mean, you don't all have to be war criminals like Rush Limbaugh, but you gotta say something that challenges people. That's the point.
Well, you didn't end up getting yelled at. You actually have a lot of folks that are in your corner, though.
Oh, right. I kind of lost track of this, didn't I?
Yeah,
so I said, hey, I got a fever. I'll know when you know. Well, now I know, and I'm telling you by talking at you for literally 90 minutes. So I am recovering. It is not COVID-19. All right, so read people who are nice to me.
Megan from Texas said, just take care of yourself. Kim said, I hope you're okay, Sam. Marcella again said, get well soon. We miss you. Rebecca B. said, hope you feel better soon. Sean said, take your time and feel better. We're all counting on you. That's probably terrifying. And Joe from Seattle said, feel better, Sam.
Also, as a request to how are you doing, I got a very long and very heartfelt email from someone, and it was personal enough that I'm Not sure I want to say their name, but I read it and it did, and it did mean a lot to me to receive that. So thank you. And I think you should expect a response, but, so that's what I kind of had a drama comedy kind of vibe for this. And this is all the drama. I think we're going to wrap this up, but we got a whole other section with some fun stuff in it. And you know me. I'd rather do fun stuff. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. After this long segment, which has been longer than most of our previous shows, we'll do some fun things.
Is your tape too weak? Are your nails not nice enough? Then check out our array of Squid Ink products. We have squid tape, squid polish, squid string, and more. This stuff has loads of uses. Stick it on your mom. Just do it. She's better now. Squid ink has many amazing properties. Drink it for an acid trip. Yeah! Use the patented squid tape, trademark, to tape your marriage together. Squid ink can reinforce your life. Buy a bottle today and get two rolls free. That's right, free. Buy now for only $39.99.
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. Cephalopod is not real.
Ah, no.
To whom it may concern. I see where this is going, and before you ask, no. Holy cats, no. Absolutely not. Please register my official protest in the log. I love you dearly, and I also prefer being alive. Therefore, I must respectfully decline. The last time I had any input on your hair was such a success that I'd sooner sign on to issue you 3 high colonics and an appendectomy before I would have any responsibility, and therefore potential blame, for your hair. Issue the first. I do not manage my own hair in any reasonable capacity. Also, and therefore, I have nearly zero experience with any sort of hair care. The last time I even got a haircut was only because a power drill got caught in it. I have less hair experience with hair styling than a 4-year-old with a pair of crinkle-cut scissors and a bad idea. Issue the second. We are completely at odds when it comes to the philosophy of hair. To you, it appears to be a primary form of self-expression and identity, tied not only to personality but also to professionalism. To me, hair is a tertiary sexual expression substance that exists mostly for the enjoyment of others. Expressly, yourself. Now, this is not a criticism. It's not. It totally makes sense. Professionally, you're a literal figurehead. You exist at the front of the classroom and must be meaningfully interfaced with in order for the ship of education to progress. On the other hand, I'm more akin to engine oil. I have no fixed position. When I'm functioning properly, I'm essentially invisible. And under no circumstances does anyone really want to look that closely at me. With love, respect, and more than a little snark, Sam. Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And I feel emotionally centered in a way I haven't in a while. Not only because I just let my feelings be known, but because I made it very clear that I don't do hair.
But I do.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, part of the reason why I even played this segment on the air is I wanted to give you space to talk about how amazingly you did with your own haircut.
Oh, thank you. It was actually kind of fun. I had been agonizing over it for like 3 weeks, complaining that I need to cut it. I don't know. Maybe Sam can. Nope, Sam's not going to cut it. Maybe I should just, should I go buzz? You know, I've done buzz once.
Yeah.
A shaved head once. In my life, and it's hair and it grows back, and well, I'm not really seeing anyone for the next month anyway.
Yeah.
So I was ready to buzz if I needed and wanted, but after careful study of many, many, many YouTube videos, I went ahead and I did a clipper and scissors cut, a nice little pixie, and I was quite actually impressed with myself, and I kind of really wanted it even more so once we had all of those folks protesting at, I guess, state capitals of...
They're really protesting at reality.
Yeah, they're protesting at reality. Yeah. But the ones...
Diseases should work differently!
Because Jesus should respect my need for a haircut. No Shazbot, Sherlock. What do you think we're doing?
So, yeah, I really wanted to cut my hair and say, there you go.
Yeah, and you did a great job. However, there's a little bit more of a narrative here. Before you did all that research and did all of that stuff, you did do the human thing and complain on Facebook. Because when you're a human being and you're confronted with a problem, the first thing you do is complain to God. Then you complain at Facebook, then you solve the problem. And so you were in that second stage problem solving thing. And you're like,
hey, is anyone done home haircuts themselves? How do you do it? Are you going for it? Are you letting it grow out?
And you're like, well, maybe I can get Sam to cut it for me. And I was not a part of this discussion. I wasn't even tagged. You were just like, maybe I can get Sam to do it. And I'm waking up at 2:30 in the morning because... No, 2:30 in the afternoon, but it's my morning, so whatever. And I'm going through all the missives that I missed throughout the day. And I saw that, and I'm like, I need to end this right now. I need to take this possibility out of her brain for good and for awesome and forever. And so I did. And so I wrote a letter. And I posted it, and before she had a chance to read it, I came out of the bedroom and I said, I have something important to tell you. This is critical, and I must have your full attention because it's super important. And she's like...
The corners of my mouth turned down. My eyes got a little bit teary. I scooched to the edge of the seat that I was sitting on.
To whom it may concern. And I read that in basically that tone of voice. And then, like, she's like, okay, he's definitely not going to do something. And then when I finally mention hair, you lose it. And it made the day. I think it made the week.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, you should play that on the show. I'm like, which one? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, Ask an Atheist. Oh, the fun one. Okay, yeah, let's do that. And so you were like, okay, I guess I got to solve this myself. And I'm like, yep. And
so you were on an alternated sleep schedule, and I was saying goodnight to you at some point in the morning, and I was getting up for my day, and I said, okay, cool. Just so you know, I'm going to cut my hair today. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I was half expecting you not to remember acknowledging that I was going to cut my hair that day. So it was...
Well, I didn't have to remember because I woke up and you had a completely different hairstyle.
True.
And it was a hairstyle.
True.
Yeah. And you did a great job, you know, except for the little... notch in the back there.
Okay, yeah. The back, the nape of the neck is really hard to do by yourself with clippers. And so I do have like a little step, kind of in the shape of New Mexico, you know?
Yeah.
The southern border of New Mexico.
And then you were like, well, maybe I can get Sam just to fix that part since it's not really styling my hair. And this is now my official reminder that in the log, I made it clear what my position was on having anything to do with your hair.
True. I just thought maybe since I clipped the back of your neck and your hair, maybe you would return the... But yes, the log is clear. I can refer to the logs. It is clear. It is registered.
I think I also said there is a significant philosophical differences in what we deal with hair. Like for me, the only reason I still have long hair at 42 years old is because you like it. I would have cut it years ago if it weren't for you. Because it just gets caught in a drill.
Well, don't use hand drills anymore.
Oh, yeah. So, we have some news, I think. Do we have news? Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
There's two pieces of news that really go together.
Okay, great. Health-conscious volunteers in an area of Java began hopping through village streets dressed as ghosts in order to scare neighbors back into their homes in an effort to stem coronavirus transmission. Ghosts known as pochong are said to haunt graveyards and are often pictured wearing Javanese burial shrouds tied as the head and... At the head and feet. Okay, cool. Upon donning sheets and rope to mimic shroud wrappings, the volunteers were initially met with an abundance of villagers hoping to snap photos and circulate them on social media. Once it was revealed that young volunteers were coordinating with local police to enforce sheltering measures, residents became more compliant.
There is so much I love about this, because one, the ghosts are sort of like zombie ghosts, right? So you're buried in this particular area of the world, kind of rolled in a sheet and then tied at ankles and knees and then in a knot above the head in order to keep it all together, right? So imagine that you're dressing up in that. Well, you're not going to wander the streets very easily. You're kind of going to like bunny hop around a yeah. little bit from like, you know, front door to front door. And that they're relying on this folklore of, oh, people are going to be so scared that they're just going to stay in their homes and we will have quarantining by default and no one will go out and transmit the virus. Everything will be good. But then you have folks that are keen enough to be like, there's no such things as ghosts. Look at all these people dressed up in these ghost costumes. So it's like we've overcome the fear of ghosts to say, this is pretty cool and fun. And then, this is really because we actually really, really you were trying to get one over on us so that we would actually stay at home?
They were trying to Scooby-Doo their way out of this is what they were doing.
Well, and once you're in on the game, it's sort of like, okay, we'll play along too.
I kind of wondered if you put this here because you were trying to think of ways to get rid of the construction guys down the street who got started working on the houses here way earlier than they were supposed to. And so I thought maybe you wanted us to like traditional Halloween ghosts with sheets and then go out there and be archetypical construction guys and catcall them and go, get out of here! And all that stuff. Ooh! Ew! You got a lunch pail! Ooh! Oh, that hurt.
That's not actually why I put it on there.
Oh, okay.
I just really love image of bunny hopping around tied up in a sheet as a public health measure.
Yeah.
You're getting the youth league, you know, it's like you're getting the local community service sorority to hop around in, you know.
Yeah, that
ghost
that,
shrouds.
Yeah. And relatedly, an Indonesian politician fed up with travelers breaking COVID-19 quarantine ordered that officials convert rumored haunted houses to be repurposed into makeshift jails as a deterrent. Officials in Java's Sipat village outfitted one abandoned house with beds separated by curtains and placed five individuals in the house after they refused to quarantine as was required after traveling from Jakarta. Local villagers contend that the house is haunted by ghosts from regional folklore. The house temporary occupants report no ghost sightings, but express being bored and embarrassed.
That's a very sweet one, too. And
is it?
It's just saying, well, we know that there's some people that believe in ghosts and ghosts inhabit, you know, abandoned houses. And these people are traveling from the city and we don't want them bringing their virus. They need to self-isolate for 14 days and they're not doing it. They're in our little vacation areas. Darn it, we need them to hush up and just sit in the house for a little while. They're refusing to. We're going to put them in a haunted house.
Are they on display? Or are they just there?
No, they're just there. They're guarded. They're under lock.
Okay.
And it's sort of like these little dorm bunk beds with curtains set up. Or not bunk beds, just little slat beds, right?
Yeah.
And all right, you got to be here since you're not going to do it by yourself. We're going to force you to do it.
Okay.
And we're going to do it in a haunted house.
Well, the house isn't haunted, so I guess that's one thing, because, well, haunted houses aren't a thing. So they'll be fine.
True. I just like the intersection between public health and a belief in ghosts.
Yeah, I am struck by the authoritarian overtones on this one, though, which is why I'm a little
little less sanguine about it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So I just spouted off about how I am in regards to the show for a long time. How are you?
I'm good.
You're really jonesing for being a teacher in front of children. I know that. You're missing that.
And I am missing that.
You like I know we go on about it on the show. You have no idea how much of Becky's identity is tied up into being a teacher.
It is a very weird time to be a different kind of teacher right now for so many teachers whose identities are really built on their being a teacher.
Well, let's be honest,
classroom.
For a lot of people, being a teacher was their second choice.
The better choice? Okay.
Maybe not for them. No. And maybe not for the students.
I'm feeling sad.
Why?
But no, you're right. So for the folks that are really dedicated, good teachers and enjoy it, it's hard. We miss our kids. Probably as much as parents miss their kids being in classrooms.
Probably, yeah.
And my heart really does go out to families who are trying to parent and possibly work full time, and just having your kids in the house and your family in the house for much more time out of the day, and then trying to connect in all of the ways to continue some kind of learning and schooling is just really a tremendous order. It's really different, and my heart really does break for kids and parents and families and teachers, and everything is just very weird.
Yeah, and for the first time ever, I'm in your...
You're in my workspace.
In your workspace. Yeah, and it's different. It's very different.
Yeah, you might see Sam walking behind my Zoom calls with a group of English teachers, or, oh, it's the science teachers today. We're just on the lunch hour doing trivia.
You guys were having a post-work trivia kazoopit or whatever the heck. And I was like, okay, so they're working and they're in video conferencing. Now they're done working and they're still in video conferencing. I can't take it anymore. Where's my Harold Camping? And so I got my huge, enormous Harold Camping head, which is now a storied artifact, given how I got it.
True.
And I just started, like, having it haunt Becky in the background.
Ooh.
I didn't make any noises because you were muted. I just had a good, like, floating. It's the floating head of Harold Camping. And
so why is there a giant grandpa frowning at you, Becky?
Because my
husband, a dead cult leader.
Because my husband's a jerk. That's why. Anything else before we wrap up? Because I feel like an hour and 20 minutes is long enough.
It's perhaps long enough for some of us, but for those of us that are used to seeing 1,200 people a day, it's fun talking.
Yeah.
But
well, that's the
we're doing okay.
That's the other thing. By having you as co-host of Ask an Atheist, I think you're a little trapped, personally.
It's meant that doing the daily briefings has opened up a new sort of area for me to explore recording and radio production.
Yeah, you're doing things you haven't done before, but I'd like to see you do something on education. I'd like to see you, I mean, if that's, you keep saying I should do a show on education, you keep coming up with great ideas, and then you know, don't go anywhere, because all of your time spent on producing radio is spent on Ask an Atheist, and the rest of your time you're either managing social groups or helping me, to be honest, because being my partner is not an easy job, or managing Ask an Atheist, and
or that thing called the paying job, the work.
But I mean, I was leaving that out of it because that much is obvious. You know, I wasn't trying to ignore it. I'm just saying, like, the time you have available is spent five different ways. So how are you going to take on a new task when all of your free time is taken up by these tasks? So why not free you of that? And for a while, I was looking for maybe Ask an Atheist with another name at the end of it, other than mine. But the people I've asked over the years are either too frightened to take on the responsibility, well, not frightened, or they're hesitant to take on that level of responsibility because they understand what's at stake, or they just see me as too tied with it, and they would see themselves as second me, and that would also be unfair. So maybe the best thing to do is to wrap. But I wasn't convinced that we were going to do that fully. And I'm still thinking about it. And I'm especially still thinking about things now that a worldwide pandemic has cast everything in an absolutely new light. And I don't know. So rather than hem and haw about it behind the scenes and try to come up with some grand conspiracy that I thought would solve all the problems, I'm just going to lay the cards on the table. And, oh, this is what I got. And get your take. So I always ask for feedback. I like reading your emails. I like hearing from you. I like being part of a community. This is the time when I need to hear from you in a way I haven't heard from you before. So, please, take a moment. Let me know what your thoughts are. Tell me I'm full of crap. Tell me, tell me, yeah, end the show. You know, oh, no, your show's great. I'm going to miss you guys.
I know I'm going to hear some of that. I'm not going to stop doing radio. There's going to be a place to find me, including all the other places you can already find me. You can tell me to stop doing the show either because I'm clearly out of it or because you think I'm no longer worthy to be a show host, both of which are possibilities. And there's a lot of space here. There's a lot of room, and I want to hear all the opinions. Our website is atheist.radio. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA.
So's our Facebook.
So's our Facebook. This one feels weird, and it might be because I'm still sick, but maybe not. I was just about to say see you tomorrow, because that's what I say on the other show. I should see you on Sunday? Like, what, 4 days' time? See you then.